Darkwraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 4 for Autumn Semester 2014. Lecture 22, delivered on November 10, 2014. The title of this lecture is Working Capital Management Policy.
Today, Working Capital Management Policy. We are in the last phase of this course. This is cleanup after this lecture, just cleaning up for the exam next week. But this is probably actually kind of an important subject here in the sense of how a company balances its long-term and short-term liabilities versus its assets. Here's an interesting idea that current assets. Let's say that your current assets in the company for the most recent fiscal year were, let's say $5,000. There's something about those current assets that most people don't think about, but it's quite a real thing. Current assets actually have two parts to them. There is a part that is permanent. In other words, there's a level of money, you can put it in dollar terms, that's always there. And then there is what you would call a temporary sum of money. So in other words, if I were to look at my total current assets, I would, if I were to track them, let's say from week to week, month to month, or even possibly quarter to quarter, you would see that the current assets actually, if I could find a full marker that actually you could see. Well, let's try this one, see what happens. If I were to track my current assets, I would see that they actually go through a cycle. And most companies do this now. They say, all right, where is the base of this cycle? In other words, what is the amount below which our current assets never seem to fall, no matter what the composition is, cash, accounts receivable, inventory, prepaid expenses. There seems to be a level below which they never drop, ever. That level right there is called the permanent. That guy right there, the permanent current assets. They're actually like fixed assets. Except that they're not fixed. The same thing that is in this current in one quarter might not be the same thing that's in there in the next quarter, but there's always something in there, in this base of current assets. And then you've got this part up here that ebbs and flows. It possibly could be seasonal. So you might see that there is this amount of stuff that you build up in inventory, say in the months leading up to the Christmas season. But as the Christmas season proceeds, it draws down. Never goes below this amount, but then you build it back up again. Your accounts receivable actually might go through a cycle too. Prepaid expenses definitely go through a cycle. You pay an amount of money at the beginning of the year, but you don't expense it all at once. You expense it as the year goes along. So the prepaid expenses might, when your policy renews, be up here, but as you draw those down into the expenses in your income statement, that part would fall too. But again, there's this base that's permanent, like a fixed asset in a sense. That amount of money, maybe not the same stuff, but that amount of money is always going to be there. So the question is, okay, how do we finance in such a way that, well, what's the philosophy of our company about financing our assets and our liabilities? Now, first things first, you probably already know this. The term net working capital is your current assets minus your current liabilities. That's net working capital. Back in some long time ago, I don't know if you're still being taught this, as a base rule, current liabilities should finance current assets. Long-term liabilities should finance long-term assets. That's an old and simplistic rule that very few companies actually follow. And there are three different ways that you can deal with this. The first things first, when you finance short-term, it's expensive. If you come to me for a 30-day loan, I'm going to charge you a lot. But if you come to a bunch of lenders for a 30-year loan, you'll probably pay considerably less for it. Have you ever gone for one of those quickie 30-day loans at a fast financing, easy loan place?
Quick payday loan. No.
Yes. You know the name of it, so you have.
Okay.
No. Those places charge you out the butt. Any of you ever pawned anything at a pawn shop, hocked anything at a pawn shop? I mean, the finance charges are just insane at those places. Credit cards, very quick money when you need it, ridiculously high rates. When you borrow short term, you're going to pay quite a bit for that kind of money. But you have it right there when you need it. So they've got to do a balancing act. How do I need the money right now? If I do, I'm probably going to finance short term. But if I really don't need it right away for a short term, maybe I could finance that through long term. If I understand, for example, in one working capital management policy theory, if I understand this amount of money, I know how much it is. Let's say it's of that $5,000, I know that amount that always seems to be sitting there is $3,000. Well, I might want to finance that long-term because that kind of money is, long-term money is cheaper to borrow. The cost of capital for long-term debt is lower. So maybe I could, in fact, finance all of my fixed assets and all of my permanent current assets with long-term liabilities and equity. And then, on the fly, finance short-term my short working capital needs. It's possible that I could do it that way. Others would say, that's a little bit too exciting for my blood. Maybe what we should do is finance all of our fixed assets long-term, and some of these permanent current assets short-term, but not all of them, because you really don't know that those are going to be permanent forever. Okay, that would be another theory of working capital management. And then there are others who say, let's just finance all of our fixed, all of our permanent, and maybe even some of this up here short-term. That would be rather aggressive, but here we go. Here are the theories, and these are put into practice. I'm going to show you a company, and I'm going to have you say, all right, which theory do they seem to be following? You can't really tell from financial statements right off the bat, because financial statements really don't break down permanent versus temporary, but we can get a little bit of a window on the management theory. The first way to manage your working capital is called aggressive. Now, in the aggressive, short-term debt will finance all temporary current assets. It will also finance some permanent current assets. And it might even finance some long-term current assets. Expensive money financing long-term current assets. Remember, the short-term debt is very expensive debt. Why would you finance long-term assets with expensive money rather than cheaper long-term money? Is there any reason can you think of for that? Okay, let's try. Short-term debt is expensive money. You go to, say, a bank and borrow for a little bit of time. That's going to cost you a lot of money. If you borrow for a longer period of time, it's going to cost you less. Now, you've got fixed assets, maybe last 10, 20, 30 years. Why would you finance those with short-term money that you have to pay back right away? Why wouldn't you finance those with cheaper money that is for the, you know, like 10, 20, 30-year money? What would motivate you to use short-term money to finance long-term asset commitments? Why would you pay for half of your tuition here on a credit card? You see, that's very expensive money. You could get a student loan at a much higher, lower rate. Why would you use a credit card ever to finance some of your long-term investments, long-term assets? If you're wondering, I don't really see why, you know, you're in good company. There aren't a lot of good reasons why, other than that some companies want to be flexible. Suppose that you have no intention. You're going to buy a building. That's a long-term asset. You have no intention of keeping that building very long. You want that building for some purposes, and then you are betting that you can flip it, get rid of it at a higher price later. You might, in a case like that, finance short-term. Just because you really are, even though it's a fixed asset, you really don't have much plan to keep that for a very long period of time. That's a possibility. Okay, there's your aggressive. And I'm going to draw a diagram, sort of like the ones that you see in the book, and then I'm going to apply this to a real world. First of all, to a model problem, and then we're going to look at a real world problem. Okay, on the other extreme is the conservative approach. The conservative approach to working capital management. In this one, long-term debt finances all of your fixed assets. You don't use any short-term money to finance your long-term. Long-term debt also finances all of your permanent working capital. Permanent current assets, working capital. Current assets. In other words, you're going to finance all your fixed assets and all of your permanents with long-term debt. Logical, seems very conservative. And then from this, actually, you might, in a conservative working capital management policy, fund a little of your temporary current assets with long money, just because it's so cheap. Yeah, we have more than we need to borrow, but, I mean, at least we've got cheap money to build our inventory for the Christmas season. It's a possibility. Okay, now, one other approach here, and I'll have to do this on the other side of the board here a little bit, is the one in the middle, the balanced approach, what some call the moderate approach. Now, you'll hear me, I might slip back and call it the balanced approach, just because it kind of strikes a balance between these, but it's not really as popular as you might think just because it's balanced. This is a much more disciplined routine. The moderate approach, long-term debt finances all fixed assets all permanent current assets and no temporary current assets. In other words, you don't mess. The moderate approach is actually a more disciplined, rigorous approach because you're not playing in the conservative where, yeah, we can borrow a little money up into here. The moderate approach says, you stop dead there. You find out what that permanent current asset number is, and you stop there. And you don't go any further. The danger with this, and this is what I've seen and I've read about it in case studies, is that the problem with holding straight to the moderate approach is that this permanent current asset base tends to drift through time. Even with good, strong management that holds everything together, the balance sheet and all, this permanent current asset thing will either tend to slide downwards somewhat through time as management policy changes, or it will tend to move upward through time, depending upon circumstances. So what might happen in this regard is that you borrowed money long in the moderate approach, this much in fixed assets, this much in permanent current assets. But then what happens if your permanent current asset number begins to trend downward over a period of a couple of years? You've gone long 20, 30-year money for something that is actually contracting through time. That could happen, for example, if you go to a tighter inventory policy so that you're actually not having as much inventory build up. You're trying to keep this tighter down here so that you don't have any excess or you're doing just-in-time or something like that. So the moderate approach is not as easy and not as straightforward as it might look. Okay, now I'm going to draw a... Let's try something here. Let me try something here. I scratched out a couple of numbers that are actually kind of close to my own. These are a little, not mine exactly, but they're kind of like in the same ballpark as the ones that I have for my company. So I'm going to write these numbers down. Temporary current assets. And I scaled them down a little bit. Permanent current assets. And that makes for total current assets of $1,400. Now, on a typical balance sheet, you would not see these two numbers broken out. You would definitely see that on the balance sheet. Okay, now let's look at your fixed assets. And again, these are kind of scaled down from my own. So your total assets are $3,400. $3,400. You with? Okay. Now, let's look at the three approaches, and I'll actually share with you which one. In a small company, you don't think about this. As the company gets bigger, you make it policy and you stick to it. But in a small company, I really didn't think about this so much until I actually began to break down the numbers and began to see what it is I'm actually following. But here's how it would work. Okay. Okay, long-term liabilities and stock. Okay, in the three different ones. I have to erase a little of this. Okay, and then short-term liabilities. Okay, now in the aggressive approach, you would probably, remember in the aggressive approach, short-term debt finances all current assets. You see that over there? So, all temporary current assets. So, short-term debt in this one would finance $900. It would also finance some of the permanent current and maybe some of the long term. So, some of the permanent currents. So it's going to finance 500. It's going to finance, let's say, it'll finance the 900, 1400, and then it's going to finance some of this here. Let's say that it finances 900 of it. So you would see long-term liabilities and owner's equity of something along the line of, let's say, $2,300. That's just a number. It's financing all of the temporary, all of the permanent, and some of the fixed, $600 of the fixed. That'd be aggressive as hell. Which would mean that short-term liabilities for the aggressive approach would be $1,100. This is the aggressive approach. Now, these are just exemplary numbers. This number could be a little lower, a little higher. Now, let's look at the conservative. See what it would do. That one would be long-term liabilities and owner's equity, and then short-term liabilities. Now, in this one, the conservative says you finance all of your fixed assets long-term. So we would be financing $2,000. You would finance all of your permanent current assets. So that would be 900. So we'd be at 2,900. And maybe a little bit of this. Let's say two. So we would probably see this one sitting in at maybe 3,100. So in order for 3,100 plus this to be that, in the conservative, you would have $300 in short-term liabilities. Trust me, if this is fogging you, it took me a long time to get this right. Now, the moderate is the one that's actually the easiest. The moderate, long-term liabilities and owner's equity financing versus short-term liabilities. Now, in the moderate approach, it's actually easy. Long-term finances fixed and permanent current. So there's no question, $2,900, and the slack up to $3,400 is $500. Again, the moderate is the easiest of all. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Now, let's look at the consequences on net working capital. Net working capital, remember that's current assets minus current liabilities. Okay, so in the aggressive approach, the 1400 minus 1100, your net working capital is only $300. It's very narrow, the distance between current assets and current liabilities. In other words, your current ratio would be not too far above 1 in this scenario. In the conservative approach, your current assets are 1,400, your current liabilities are 300, so you would have $1,100 net working capital, a bigger net working capital. Now, in the moderate, your current assets are 1,400, your current liabilities are 500, so you would have a net working capital of $900. In the middle. So that's, by the way, where we get that aggressive, conservative, and moderate. Notice in the aggressive, your net working capital is very small. In the conservative, it's quite large. The distance is very large between your current assets and your current liabilities. And in the moderate, it's somewhere in between those two. Now, again, these numbers are actually based on mine. Except I think, if I remember what I did was, I think I like took half of each of the actual numbers. And when it came out, and I just did this, by the way, just it was over the weekend, so I could use it as an example. What I came out with was, interestingly enough, and I didn't know that I was doing this, and it kind of worries the hell out of me, is that I have a surprisingly moderate working capital approach. In other words, I sort of worked it out. No, it would have been bigger if it had been the conservative approach, and it would have been a hell of a lot smaller if it had been the aggressive approach. It's somewhere between those, so apparently, without knowing I was doing it, which a larger company would know what it's doing as far as financing goes, it's sort of naturally kind of falling into the moderate category. Now let me show you something here. I'm going to go here and pull up, mute this just for a second so you don't try to hack my account when I try to get in. I'm going to go and look at a company that we've actually looked at before and just have you have a look at what's going on with this company and see if you can tell because net working capital is current assets minus current liabilities. So my current assets, did I do that wrong? It's 1,400 minus 300. Well, I'm sorry. 1,400 minus 1,100. This is short-term liabilities. That's current assets. Okay? Now, what I'm going to do is, bear with me just one second. And I'm going to go here, and I'm going to get the financial statements of Costco. Oops. And let's go to its financial statements. Let's look at its balance sheet. Now, again, notice that on a balance sheet, you really can't see, just looking at it, what's permanent versus what is temporary current assets. You can kind of get a feel for it, but you really can't tell for exactly. However, what we can look at here is Costco's net working capital. Now, I want you to look at this. Total current assets are $17,588. Now, its current liabilities are $14,412. Just gut. Does that look like a big net working capital or a small working capital compared to the current assets and current liabilities? Just talk to me. Just on your gut. What does it look like? Yeah, that's small. That's actually a very narrow. In fact, if I were to do it the other way, if I were to take it as a quick ratio, remember I said if you've got a quick ratio that's not too far away from one, if we were to do that here, 17,588 divided by, what was that, current liabilities, 14,412. Really? Let's try that again. 17,588 divided by 14,412. Yeah. Talk to me. What's Costco's working capital management policy? It's screaming at you. See it? Talk to me. I'm going to ask this on an exam. What do you see? No doubt about it, this company. That. What do you say? Someone said it? It's aggressive. That is an aggressive working capital management policy right there. Those SOBs are financing on serious, all their temporary, all their current, and some of their fixed, they are financing long term. And if you look at their long term debt, That is actually a fairly decent number. Their debt-to-equity ratio is about $1 of debt for a little more than $2 of equity. That's a fairly steep leverage. Yeah, but a lot of their money is short-term debt. A lot of what they're financing their operations with is short-term money, which you'd have to ask yourself, why are they doing that? That's actually, they could borrow more. Clearly, their debt-to-equity ratio is below one. They could finance more long-term. This is their working capital management policy. Now let me go back here. Let's try something. Walmart. Financial statements. Balance sheets. Okay. Current assets minus current liabilities. Who? Well, spank me, Jesus. Look at that. Current assets. What is that? 61,185? Minus their current liabilities, 69,345. Hello. What would you call that? Rather, I guess, aggressive and then crackhead on a bad day. That's actually a negative net working capital. So apparently, we're seeing that aggressive seems to be something that is part of that kind of an enterprise. One more. Talk to me. Give me the name of another big box retailer. Any? As you can think of? What?
Target.
Oh, well, let's try Target. That's a little bit. I don't call them big box. Well, I call them upscale big box. Well, let's do it. TGT, right? Let's see Target. TGT. Q. Okay, let's go and have a look at what they do. Financial statements. Is it that hard for them to put the same information in the same order? Where's my balance sheet? Do I have a K? Am I missing where the balance sheet is here? Statement of finance, maybe it is. You know what? Really? Are you an accounting major?
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, current assets. Let's have a look. Just to see, we're beginning to peek inside of the mentality of the management. This goes beyond technical analysis. Now we're beginning to look at the psychology of the policies of the company. In this case, current assets, 11,573 minus current liabilities, 12,070 again. Isn't that interesting? You're seeing the same phenomenon in one of these companies after the other. That they are aggressive as hell. I mean, they're not moderate. They're aggressive to the point of being overrunning their current assets with their current liabilities. They are financing into their fixed assets with short money. All of these companies are that we've seen so far. Now I want to go back. Okay, let's try something else. Can you think of a company that's more older, traditional, maybe manufacturer or something like that? Mike, oh, well, let's see. MSFT. MSFT. Okay. See what they do. See, balance sheet. That's what I was looking for. See how easy it is? If Bill Gates can do it, you can too. Damn it. Okay, anyway. Current assets. Where the hell was I? 114-246 less current liabilities. Where the hell am I? Oh, there it is. 45,625. Oh, thank God. A nice fat ass number. And this one is actually darn big. That net working capital right there, okay, now, on your gut, this is clearly not aggressive, obviously. Which, and again, we can't see permanent versus temporary current assets. Which would you call this? Would you call this conservative or moderate? I would call this conservative, yeah. They are surprisingly conservative in their policies, in their working capital management. Last one I want to do, though, is let's pull this back and see them against Apple. Apple is APL or AP?
Double
APL? What, do you invest in these companies? Okay. Financial statements. Okay, grinding it. There. Okay, let's see how they play it. Okay, 68,531 minus current liabilities, 63,448. Oh. Isn't that interesting? Microsoft and Apple have fundamentally different working capital management policies. You see that? This is no doubt, this is an aggressive. This is aggressive. Whereas Microsoft, it's really conservative. You're right, that's a conservative, no question. And this one is dead on aggressive. Fundamentally different. Sort of the same industries in some regards, but fundamentally different. Yeah. I'm going to show you one here. I hope it's moderate. I did a quick, dirty calculation a while back on it, and I am hoping that I've got this right. Very close, just a little above. And then if it's going to be conservative, it's going to be in the 2.5, 3, way up there, even 10, 20 range. What is it? Yeah, right in the middle. And the moderate is always the hardest one to call. But if I'm not mistaken, did I just do that wrong? Nope. I am so sick. What's Google's trading symbol? G-O-O-G. Goog. Whatever. Okay. Okay. And I think I'm actually wrong about this. I did this calculation and it didn't come out what I was expecting. There's what I want. Okay. I might, well, I clicked out of this calculator. Okay, now, 72,886 minus current liabilities. Where is it? I can't see worth a damn. Oh, 15,908. Nope. I was wrong. Call it.
Is there
You, yep. They're conservative too. So you see, you can't predict it by industry. I did Google, and it wasn't the one that I was thinking of. It didn't come up to be what I wanted to be. Finding a moderate is actually not that easy. You go more to manufacturing kinds of companies, just straight up manufacturers, and you'll see more of those. For example, I do know one that I can find for you right now that I did a couple of years ago, but I can't imagine that they're that much different now. Is this the one? Nope. There it is. K, K, K. Okay, now we'll see it. Consolidated Statement of Operations. There it is. Nope. Consolidated Balance Sheets, yep. Okay, current 13704. 13704 minus current liabilities, total, 5036. They're the same as they were before, 5026. Yeah, they are moderate to slightly conservative. It's a little bit more, interestingly enough here, this is actually a little more conservative than they were a couple of years ago when I last looked at Halliburton. But that one's more in the moderate range. And the quick ratio, if I were to do their quick ratio here, 13704 divided by current liabilities, 5026. Yeah, that's more conservative than it was a couple of years ago, but that's moderate slash conservative in that range. More of a services production kind of company, a lot of government contracts, stuff like that. Make money off big wars and little wars. Yeah, they're a little more in the middle. Tilted to the conservative side. You got the hang of it? Once you do that, I'm going to just give you one of the things on the exam two that I'll do is I'll just show you some financial statements, and it'll be an obvious one, or at least you'll be able to see it from the permanent current. I'll show you those. I'll just say, which one is it? And that'll get you some points if you got the hang of this. That's all I have for you. Go home.